return you now to your regularly scheduled program.
Hey everybody, this is Josh Martin.
And I'm Marty Hite.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome to the Tattoos and Jesus Podcast.
I am very happy to be here!
Here at TNJ, we seek to blend the righteous with the ridiculous.
Please explain.
We discuss coffee, counseling, Christianity, and whatever else crosses our mind.
We hope you enjoy it.
Okay, let's go.
Good afternoon. Well, actually, I don't know what time it is when you're listening. Anyway, welcome back to another episode of Tattoos and Jesus. Here's your favorite host, Josh Martin.
You really said that with a lot of enthusiasm.
And Marty Hite. I hate when I do the intro. I just think I sound ridiculous.
You do better.
I either underdo it or overdo it. I'm like, welcome back, everybody, to another episode. Or I'm just like so over the top that like I enunciate weird.
You become German.
I do. Marty Hite.
Yeah, you become very German.
It's strange.
It's okay, though. I mean, you'll get it with time. I mean, we're only 180 in or whatever.
So. If I was going to have it, you just have that golden quality to
golden,
a voice.
To the point to where people slow me down. I'm still on my list of never forget.
Like, shout out to Brandon and Kayla Morris.
Slow me down to hear my accent on the podcast.
I think what we've learned here is that if you ever become a criminal, don't do the kind that requires recorded speech.
Yes.
Because your voice is like a fingerprint. It wouldn't take much to be like, well, that was Josh Martin.
I mean, yeah, that's probably fair. Didn't somebody recognize you by your voice?
No, that was you. At
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, never mind. Okay, so.
All right, so listen, I was just looking at a show sheet that I keep to remind me of, like, topics and ideas, and I had this story I wanted to tell you that's unrelated to what we had planned for today, but I think it's kind of funny.
Let's hear it.
So, when we went to Gatlin about a month ago, me, my wife, and my boys, we went and spent the weekend in, like, Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge. And we stayed at this hotel. I think we previously discussed this because it was shady hotel, sketchy.
The lady came up.
Con girl. Yeah. Right. So, I think during one of the days, it doesn't matter when, when we had initially got there. So, I think we went in on Thursday night. I think it was Friday morning. So, we drive a gray Toyota Highlander, right? Gray SUV. Ashley goes, hey, I need to run down to the car or something. So she grabs the keys. She leaves. Comes back like 10 minutes later with a goofy look on her face. And she goes, you're never going to believe what happened to me. And she goes, so I go down to the car and I'm trying to get in the Highlander. And I realize it's not my Highlander. Right next to us was another Highlander. And the funny part is this. The whole time she's trying to get in, all she's thinking about is like, why isn't the key working? Because it's right next door. So she could hit the key and hear a beep.
Right.
So she's not registering
that
she's like, they look the same. They're the same color. And she goes, and I'm just trying to figure out, like, why won't it do it? And she's kind of ADD. So, like, she goes, and while I'm trying to get in, I realize there's a scuff on the door. And she goes, ugh. We've only been parked here one night, and there's a scuff on the door. She goes, so I buffed the scratch out. She goes, so I buffed this
random person's car.
She's buffing it, and she goes, and I'm buffing it, and like the door won't open. And then I look in, and there's a handicap pass hanging there. And then she goes, oh, this isn't my car. And then she looks up and sees it. And she looks up and goes, oh. And she goes, there's this old woman sitting there watching her do this whole thing. And she goes, I look at the old woman and go, hey, sorry, this isn't my car. That's my car. And she goes, and I do that, and I walk around. And from the second story, there's this guy standing there, this woman standing there. And she goes, turns around and yells in the room to their spouse, ah, she was trying to get in the wrong car. She's not breaking into ours. The owner of the car is watching her
this
whole time, wondering, what is she doing trying to get in our car? And then watched her buff out a scratch on the side of it.
Ashley, in that 10-minute span, Ashley was literally the same as the con lady. Like,
that's right.
Like,
she was
the
no
con
different.
Lady has brought a friend, and she's cleaning scratches off cars for money.
Yeah.
And
It was so funny. Here we are. Here's the kicker, though. She's like, I'm telling you, it's like identical. We go down there. She's right. They're like identical cars, except it was green.
It was a different color?
It was a totally different color. I said, it's green.
In her defense.
It wasn't like bright green.
As a fellow ADD member of society.
Yeah. Car carrying.
Color doesn't matter. color doesn't matter. Sarah does things to see if I notice them sometimes. Like she took the Christmas tree down.
You don't notice.
I didn't notice. The whole Christmas tree is literally in the front living room. I sat for like 2 hours watching TV with her. And she was like, you really have not noticed. And I said, what are you talking about? She's like, I took the entire Christmas tree down. And I was like, oh, yeah, you did. Never even noticed. It's just, I understand her pain, man. I mean, I probably wouldn't have buffed the scratch out, but.
It's just. Listen, we haven't done a drink review in a while. And we don't have a coffee review, but you have something you want me to try here.
So.
It's got floaters. Is it supposed to have floaters?
Floaters of what?
Is that part of the flavor?
No, it's probably part of your cup.
No shot.
What
color? Those are bubbles. Bubbles.
So, I've been on a compulsive kick of energy drinks.
Yeah.
I mean,
I didn't know you had stopped.
I said that for the past 7 years of my life.
So, you've went away from the 5 hours?
No, I need to because I'm noticing that I crash hard in the afternoons after the 5 hours and my head starts hurting. So yeah. I'm trying to like.
Is it happen after about 5 hours?
It's around 5 hours. Yeah.
That would make sense.
Right. I'm going to get in at 8. It usually happens at like 2. I mean, you know, something like that. So I'm trying to find a balance. So I went to the store this morning. We stayed up late last night because we were playing pickleball, whatever. And I got a 16-ounce Red Bull. So I've already had a 16-ounce Red Bull today.
You've already drank a Red Bull?
I drank a 16-ounce Red Bull.
A big one.
Yeah. And so this is an 8-ounce Red Bull because I had them on sale at Spinks. And it is a dragon fruit, green dragon fruit Red Bull. And Marty said he has never had a Red Bull or this Red Bull.
I don't
Bull.
Think so. I don't drink energy drinks.
Yeah.
Marty doesn't. I've had Celsius before. I don't drink. And we've talked about that before. Like, I don't do. It smells good.
Yeah. And so this is the Dragon Fruit Green Red Bull. Shout out to
Red
Bull.
I love that first sip feeling. Good Lord. It's got like a sour. It grabs you in the jowls. A little sour. Get you right here.
You good?
Does it feel sour to you?
I don't know. It looks like you just took a shot of liquor or something. Like your whole face.
What did you give me?
It's Dragon Fruit, man. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Face does not say that it's really good. I'm going to be honest with you right now.
Here's the thing. When I quit drinking sugary drinks 8 years ago, I don't normally drink stuff this strong.
Oh, yeah, because it does got some sugar in it.
It's, like, really sweet. Like, because I started drinking unsweet tea, like, flavored seltzer waters. All of those have very muted flavors. Very muted. So I'm used to having mild flavor now.
I used
to live off of like powerful smell tasting stuff, but this is so strong. It's like why I can't eat candy. Like I don't eat candy, but if you gave me a Starburst right now, I'd probably kill out.
That's about what it tastes like then. It's pretty good though.
Yeah, it's good.
It vitalizes the body and the mind.
I don't feel vitalized.
When I worked at Red Bull, people would always come up to me and be like, "Hey, you got your wings yet?"
What'd you say?
I never responded.
You just ignored him?
My district manager would always like pull a joke on him. Like if somebody was like in the store, "You got your wings yet?" My district manager would be like, Yeah, I got some in the truck. You want a free one? And they'd always be like, Yeah, awesome. He's like, "All right, give me a second." He'd get in the car and he'd pull off.
That's pretty good.
And so it was a fun time.
Dude, that would be a good marketing thing, though. Like, I don't know if you would know this. This actually kind of segues ahead of time to what we're going to talk about. But, like, I moved around a lot. I've flown on a lot of airplanes. back in the day, they don't do this anymore. Like, if you got on an airplane, you were a kid, they would give you, like, wings. Like, it looked like the little airline pins that the professional, like, you know, the flight attendants or the...
Oh, yeah.
And, or the pilots would wear. And it would just say, you know, Delta or U.S. Airways or whatever, you know, you were flying. And it was just for kids, right? It's just a little sticker or a pin or whatever. Like, they should do a marketing thing where they give out their wings. Like, here's your wings. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one to have thought of that. Like, I'm sure that's come across the marketing desk.
They did that. They didn't do wings. They'd have two reps drive around in a Red Bull Mini Cooper out of the top of the Mini Cooper, and sometimes they would pass out.
Really?
Wings, but it wouldn't be.
I mean, I've seen the little Mini Cooper before.
Yeah.
Did you know that Sierra Mist no longer exists?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Right, probably because we talked about it 10 minutes ago.
No, I did because Kayla got Starry before, and I asked what it was.
So, like, I didn't realize they'd gotten rid of, like, I've seen Starry, but I didn't realize they replaced Sierra Mist with Starry. Like, and I'm not sure, I even Googled this, like, why did they replace it? And basically, Sierra Mist was not rising to the occasion from a marketing, like, it wasn't selling.
It's like a rebrand.
But I'm not convinced it's the same stuff. Like,
no, they said it had a little more.
It's a new lemon lime soda alternative.
They put more either lime or lemon in it.
I'm sure that was a game changer.
I mean, that's what if Kayla was in here, she'd tell you. She talked to the Papa John's lady that sold her on it, and the Papa John's lady was like, "It's got more of a something like a lemon or lime." And so that where Mine Sierra Mist was real subtle.
Yeah.
But this has got a little more pop.
I was never a big Sierra Mist person, so I can't even remember what it tasted like. But here's my thing. Starry sounds stupid.
I mean, it's like, not the best.
Who thought, like, truthfully, when you look at names and marketing from, like, the 70s, it looks like Starry should have been, like, the precursor to Sprite or Sierra Mist. Not the replacement of. Like, it doesn't, like, you think, I mean, of, like, old drinks, best, like, yeah. Wink. Wink. Wink is an old drink that isn't around anymore. Like, there's these other weird, like, old drinks that had kind of, like, that's the best name you can come up with, and Starry feels like that.
Fair.
It's like.
Starry is not a great name.
No.
100% not a great name.
It's not a good name. It's not a good logo.
No.
I guess you thought that was going to redeem Sierra Mist?
Well, they probably wanted to keep it in the S round because of Sprite. Because
if alphabetically they're really wanting Sierra Mist.
Sprite, like.
Okay.
RC is Cola, Coke. I mean, Pepsi obviously is not that. I feel like you keep it somewhat similar so that it's kind of like the best. Never mind. I was about to bash a restaurant in Gaffney. But.
Oh.
So, let me tell you what is a good marketing scheme.
Okay.
If you go on your phone right now, go pull your phone up, Marty.
I'm pulling it out.
Pull your phone up, Marty. And I told her I'd give her credit. Kayla came into my office yesterday and said, randomly, I think she has ADD as well, but she said,
you think Kayla has an eating disorder?
ADD.
Oh, ADD. I thought you said Kayla has it. I was like, that's not appropriate for the show.
No, ADD. Because she came in and she said, you know what would be a good job? I said, what? She said, if I could be like a professional bridesmaid. Because she went to that wedding or whatever. And I was like, yeah, that's stupid. That doesn't exist. So then I looked it up.
What do I have to
type in groomsman for hire.
It popped up. Oh, that's the website. Groomsmen for Hire.
Yeah.
Well, that's original. The guy.
So, after I looked it up, she's on to something. I apologize to her for calling her dumb.
Hold on. You can pay. You never thought you needed. What? A groomsman? When you need him the most. Groomsmen for Hire takes care of all the hard work. Your wish is our job. Customized packages, unique experience. Is this a brothel?
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
It like sounds like an escort service.
That's what. That's literally what we said yesterday. Because if he goes to the bride's
holy page, smokes.
If you go to the bridesmaid page, it's real sketch.
Did you look at the prices?
No, I couldn't find it. What's the prices?
There's a link on the page, you dummy, that says packages.
Oh, what does it say? It made me enter my name first, but I didn't know.
Packages designed to fit your needs and budget. You have the silver, the gold, the platinum, or the undercover groomsman. The silver package starts at $500 or $499. The gold is at $799. The platinum is $999. And the undercover groomsman starts at $1,499 plus travel. The platinum and undercover are both plus travel and expenses. A la carte services, bachelor weekend, or groomsman gifts. I'm going undercover groomsman. What if? Can I click on that? I can't click on it.
I can tell you it.
Oh, I can't. I can't. I have to enter in my information to. Please do tell.
So I did some research on it yesterday. They did a full interview with GQ. First of all,
this company in Greenville.
The company's based out of Greenville, South Carolina. They did an interview with GQ, where I think they started maybe in 2014. They said they get 3 to 4 phone calls a week wanting groomsmen. They have about 8 groomsmen on hire right now.
8?
Yeah, but this was like 3 years ago. Or 2 years ago. They have some groomsmen on file. They don't like to use groomsmen consistently throughout the year. So each one gets about 3 to 4 weddings so that you don't look suspicious.
I'm sending this to my wife right now with the comment, can I do this part-time?
I mean, it looks legit. But
let's see what she says.
The undercover groomsman is the most interesting one because
what's the undercover groomsman?
The way they explained it was you as a groomsman will go meet the groom over FaceTime, Zoom chat. You will create a backstory with the groom before you are before you come on board.
Yeah.
So usually it's a childhood friend that you lost contact with, college friend if nobody else is from college. Like, you find the connection or the loophole where you could exist.
Okay.
So once you cover your backstory, you cover all right, who is everybody. Like, it's a full blown.
But if the rest of your family's there, how are they not gonna out you?
Because nobody asks. That's what the guy said. He was like, hey, this is
because
Billy
nobody's
from,
looking for it. Yeah, nobody's looking for
an undercover groomsman. Oh, he's from your hometown. Oh, well, that's cool. Usually, and this is going to get to my question, so I'll save it. But so you go undercover, you create a backstory. He goes over family. This is my aunt. Blah blah.
You have
blah.
To memorize all these people,
and so you understand the concept of what you're going into, so you can talk about it. And you just like, it's literally like the movie Wedding Crashers. So he said he got the idea from the movie The Wedding Ringer, where he hires a bunch of groomsmen because he doesn't have any friends.
Yeah.
And he got the idea.
Have you seen that movie?
Yeah. Started the company. I'm pretty sure Kevin Hart's in it. Started the company off of this movie, and it's become somewhat successful. And so
I'm guessing it's not his full-time job.
You get, it might be. He's the CEO. You go. You get flown out to wherever it is. He said most of them actually come from New York City. You attend the wedding. You attend the rehearsal. You attend the reception. Unless you do the full best man package where the company helps you, if you're hired as the best man, talking about me or you, to set up the bachelor party, get gifts, get anything scheduled that the best man would do, but does it in a procrastinating way so it looks realistic. So the bachelor party's planned late. The tuxes are right on time, but not too early. Like, it's very well thought
out. They've thought through what are the most common patterns that happen in real relationships and weddings.
Yep. And then you fly out there. You give a speech. You and the groom come up with a funny speech to write out. You give a speech about how you and this groom are just great friends back in the day and that he met the perfect woman. And then you go. You party with the party.
Yeah.
And you leave the next day and you never see them again unless you're a part of the undercover package. They had a story where the wife asked the groom where Marty had been and how why he hadn't you had she hadn't seen him.
Right.
So then he gets in contact with the company. The company gets you to call his wife to talk about their new baby and then attend the baby shower the next month out in New York City, talk, still play along, and then come back.
You know what this reminds me of? When you faked being an NC State alumni.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. That's right. Yeah. But it was at the NC State game.
Yeah, at the NC
State. But you game. Faked being a – and you went to a – didn't you a go to an alumni party.
Yeah,
tailgate party before the game with your brother John?
Right. And we – yeah, my brother said he went to college with Kenyon Martin.
That's right. That's right. Because he did some background research on. Yeah. Now this is way more like this. Because
oh, yeah.
here's my like the question was, and I think the question answers yes because you've done this. Is could you do it? Could you hold the shtick together to do this?
I think so. I think we both could.
Like you have to be borderline sociopathic.
I mean, you would have to just sell. The key would be. Don't spend a lot of time on the history
yeah.
and develop the current relationship. Because what, then it doesn't matter.
What would be your shtick? Like, what do you think would be your... Like, for me, I'm telling you, 100%, we used to play football together.
Okay.
Always. Like, we used to play football together. Because I can't tell you how many people go, I hope you played football when you were younger at your size.
So now you're fulfilling your dreams.
That's right. And I, because every time what I have to say is no, sorry, didn't play football, played basketball because my school didn't have football, but it's probably better now because my joints aren't bad, my back still works.
Yeah.
Like it's the same, I'd say the same thing every time. Even though, did I tell you that 2 weeks ago, I went to pick up my dog where he had been in the kennel, we were away on vacation, and there's this guy in front of me, this dude's probably 5'3", 5'4", not a big man. He's in front, real talker. He's the guy that he walks in the room and he's just going to talk to you because you exist.
Mm-hmm.
Just, oh, rah, 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 you know, just carries on. He turns around and he goes, I think I saw you on Monday Night Raw last night.
That's great because that's 100% accurate. 100% accurate.
Anyway, long story short, I signed his chest with a Sharpie.
And it said what?
What is it?
The Undertaker.
It said the, no. I said, nope. And then he gave me, he said, well, I hope you played ball when you were younger. So.
And you said,
that
no,
would be
sir.
My, that would be.
I just dropped my pants on stage.
No. People need context clues to that. No, that would, I mean, I feel like that, I could fit that role. I'm.
So the biggest advice that he gave in the interview was.
I think it's Red Bull's hit.
Sell the story.
Yeah.
And be yourself. He said, they said, don't change anything about who you are. As far as like personality, character yeah. traits, like just be yourself.
Because you can't fake everything. You're not an actor.
Right.
It's so almost, it's like you have to be you. So then you can just be you in that environment
yeah.
with a guy that you've only known for a short period of time.
So they said the worst situations are getting completely socially awkward
when they
grooms.
Don't speak the same language.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's a Chinese speak. Wedding.
But
he grew up with this dude that speaks right. English, and they just bonded.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, all right, so we go to New York. Me and you are hired. We go to New York City.
Yes.
And we, our childhood, our stories were childhood friends. And
the
guy
story
grew up
can't be that you're from New York with that southern accent. Say,
but he's from New York. And we're going, hey, y'all, yeah, we grew up over there in the Bronx, so, you know. Over there in Brooklyn.
Oh.
Like, I mean, that it's got to be, like, they have to have somebody for each one. So, anybody yeah. from the South. But see, this is where my question comes in.
Okay.
Beside it being such an entertaining thought to, like, how this process works.
This sounds like it'd be so much fun to pull this off.
Yeah. Oh, it'd probably be a blast. Because, you know, they'd probably just go have a good time with them and then...
Because there's no consequences. It's not like you're faking your way into a concert, and if you get busted, you get arrested. Like, if something goes wrong, like, sure, I'm sure you have to pay the money back or something. But you just like have to leave.
There was a story where the bride did not know. Most cases the bride does not know.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the cases only the groom knows.
Okay.
Or the groom and like one other person know. But the guy who went got drunk and was having a good time, got cut with a knife, and instead of going to the hospital because he couldn't tell them his real name, he got the chef in the Caribbean to sew him up in the kitchen and then come back to the dance floor.
You got to get paid extra for that.
Like,
there's no way. That's a movie.
That's what he said. He said we had, because he couldn't go to the hospital because he'd have to give his real identity. And if he gave his, because he paid for the undercover package, so you couldn't blow your cover.
So you got to be willing to take stitches from a chef in the Caribbean.
But he was in the Caribbean. He got flown for free to go to the Caribbean to be friends with these people. But you imagine, like, if you walk in, like, you're a pretty sociable guy.
Yeah,
I can. You walk in, and the groom is, like, the least sociable person you've ever met. And all of his friends are the least sociable people. And then you just pop up and was like, hey, we were childhood friends. And the guy said, like, five words. Like, I don't understand how you – he said those are the most difficult cases. And he said most of the time they're not the funnest. So, like, sometimes you get paid to do it, and it's not a fun time.
Because at the lowest level, it's what I say, $500. And, like, how much do you get off of that? So, lowest level, I'm guessing you just show up the day of, you're in the wedding party, and you're out. And you make $300? Like,
maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Four, like,
half, probably.
$250?
Yeah.
For a three-hour performance?
Yeah. For free food.
Yeah.
I mean.
Which I guess they have to accept it. Like, are they going to accept if somebody's like, yeah, I want the undercover package, but you can tell, like, this dude is not capable of socializing.
Yeah.
Like, well, could they say, I just don't think it's going to work out? Because, like, they have to protect their image, too. Like, their brand.
Yeah. Maybe.
What would be your shtick? I said I would be the ex-athlete.
Mine would be, I would probably just play into the, I'm a journalist.
A journalist?
Yeah, I know enough about newspapers and journalism that I could get by, but nobody would look me up.
See, here's the thing. I think you would be better at this than I would, because you have the ability to make relationships with people in the drop of a hat. Absolutely drop of a hat. Like, you put you anywhere, and you have everybody on a group text thread in 30 seconds.
I would be good at the group text. That is,
like,
true.
You would be, everyone would feel like they knew you.
Yeah.
And had never met you.
I can't believe Josh grew up in Harlem.
Yeah. And then what's going to happen is you're going to hit off with these guys and be like, oh my goodness, these guys are awesome. And, like, we're now friends, but I'm a fake friend. And so he's, and so it's like, I want to hit you up again, but I can't.
Okay, so put yourself in another shoe.
Okay.
We're really running away with this, but it's one so shoe. Interesting. Say you're a groomsman.
Yeah.
Up one of your friends, and he hires a groomsman, and you just go, I mean, you don't think nothing about it. Oh, maybe, yeah. They went to school together, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, then you run into that same guy 2 years from now, and you're like, oh, hey, Benny. And then you find out, like, he was hired.
Yeah.
Do you instantly be like, he is cooler than the groom? Like, this guy is still awesome, but the groom's a douchebag for not telling me.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think you lose.
So if you're high, like,
the groom's is the only person that loses here.
Yeah, like, do you feel hurt? Do you feel like if y'all hit it off, like, is it still a friend?
You know what, first thought in my head? My boy's in witness protection. That's what I'm thinking. It's like, I know this guy. I'm a legitimate groomsman in his wedding. We thought we were tight, and he went out and paid for this. What's he trying to hide?
If he told you he worked for Groomsman for Hire, though.
No, not that guy. I'm immediately questioning the guy whose wedding I was in.
The groom that you knew?
Yeah. I'm saying you're in witness protection.
Oh, gotcha.
Or why do you like me enough to want me in the wedding, but I'm not good enough?
Yeah, like, I want to get paid.
I'm not good enough to be a freaking.
I had to rent my suit, but you paid this guy to be in the wedding. Like, yeah. Come on now.
That's yeah. Oh, like if I ran into that dude, that'd be sweet.
It would be kind of cool.
Okay. I'm sure they have like, I mean, there's probably like a statute of limitations or something on like you have to maintain this shtick for 3 years or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure all that's taken into account. If they do intentional procrastination, I'm sure they've got what if you run into this guy?
Yeah, that's true.
That's wild.
We need to see if we can find one of them to interview.
What would be hilarious is if a dude, because you know this could happen, if you run in the same circles, right? You go to a wedding in New York. Oh man, it's my boy John, and all of a sudden he's married. Like, oh, he's girl. I never met the best man. You meet him 6 months later. You go to somebody else's wedding, and now it's the same dude going by the name Bill.
Yeah,
best friend with your other homeboy.
Yeah, so they plan it out to where you can't attend in the same city for a certain amount of time.
They've even got that covered.
So you go to New York City once, then next time you get a New York City request, mm-hmm. it's going to be another guy.
Another man.
It's not going to be you. I mean, it's a thought out process here.
I'll be honest. I don't want to make money off this, but I desperately want
the experience.
We've got to go fake our way into something.
The experience of it would be top notch.
I've done this before.
In a way, I was going to say, like, you've probably done this to some degree, like, where you're trying to get by a membership, or
yeah,
it wasn't your card, or
I did something. For the life of me, I cannot remember what it was because it was a long, long time ago. I faked my way into something one time, and I can't remember what it was. It may have been in high school.
This is not going to be anywhere to what we originally talked about, but okay. I do have a like, what's the thrill behind it? Because it is kind of exciting. Like if you look,
I'm just
like,
thinking about it and I'm feeling thrilled.
I know,
or
like
my wings are growing.
Like, might be. So. but yeah. So what is? Like, what's thrilling? Like, to be undercover sounds thrilling.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. Why does it sound like you get to, like, be secretive? Like, is it because of movies? Is it the aspect of it? Like, why? What makes it so, like,
that's
cool?
I think there's multiple reasons. Is there a reason that pops into your head? Like, this would be thrilling to me because I immediately thought of two things. First is it is always fun to be the one in the know. Right, like
point.
If you
yeah.
work somewhere and you're like the guy, like that's why gossip I think carries is people love to feel like they have like the deepest juice of the moment, like they have the deepest gossip, whatever, like whatever is flowing, and so part of it is like it's fun to be like you are the ultimate in the know guy, like at least in that situation, not to their lives. But, like, there's something going on, and you are the hinge pin. Like, you know the most. You know? I think there's something True. Fun about feeling like you have the pulse of the deepest questionable knowledge. Also, I think it's fun to feel kind of in power a little bit.
Yeah.
Like you feel it's because it's almost like a little bit of what I think makes crime attractive.
Yeah. I was going to say it's like there's the secretiveness to it is attractive.
Like you know something nobody
you're
else
being
knows.
Mischief, but it also takes pressure off.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to, well, in a way, like you don't have to be you.
Yeah, because there's nothing about being a fake groomsman that would be stressful at all.
Right. Well, in the sense of, all right, so I'm about to throw a curveball.
You paid for these guys at your wedding.
No. My curveball is thinking back maybe, I don't even know, a few podcasts ago.
Okay.
And we've talked about the supervision. We operate from this area of core belief, core fears. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about not being good enough, fear of failure, fear of rejection. A lot of us operate from that to some extent. Going undercover disables that.
That's a good. That's solid.
Because you can't fail at being somebody that you're not, and you can't be if you're not accepted, it's not you.
Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't matter. So you're almost like it disables these negative beliefs and negative fears about yourself in that moment. On it's top like, of what you're is saying.
Do you think it's similar to acting?
Probably, yeah.
In some ways, you can like be this person on stage that you wouldn't be in real life.
Yeah.
But you're just performing a role that was given to you.
With more confidence than probably you are in real life.
And so it's like instead of feeling like personally criticized, like, well, if you don't like the character, that's not my fault. Like the author wrote the character. I just, you know, demonstrated it.
Yeah.
Now, if they said your acting skills suck, that's personal.
Yeah.
But if they're like, I just didn't like the character you played, well, that's just the character, right? Yeah. Because you can play a bad character really well.
Yeah.
And be like, you nailed that. And so you're right. Like, I think it disarms vulnerability and anxiety.
Yeah.
To a degree, at least.
Yeah. Because I feel like mine wouldn't. Like, if I was there and I was undercover as a groomsman. Like, I mean, there's pressure to perform, but nobody knows who you really are.
Yeah.
So being liked or being disliked doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You're just trying not to.
But it speaks to how powerful our self-perception is to how we're received.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, and because I know one of the rabbit trails we could have went down to is you've lived in the same town your whole life, right? For the most part, you grew up in Gaffney, South Carolina. You live in Bowling Springs, so you're like 10 miles away.
Right.
But you're from the exact same region. I'm from everywhere.
Right.
Right. Born in Ohio, lived in Pennsylvania, spent most of my middle school and high school in North Carolina, came to college, South Carolina college, and haven't left. But even in South Carolina, I've lived in like 4 different cities. So, like, I've had to move a lot. You haven't moved at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, but what I know is that when people come in with confidence, like, they believe that they're worth, their space is worth being in the room, right? And they know, like, I am likable, or I can develop relationships and I can have friends. There's tremendous security in that.
Mm-hmm.
So they can walk in a room. When you feel secure, when you have a secure relationship with the world around you, you can go to an unfamiliar environment, but you still bring the security with you, and people attract to that.
That's a really good point, yeah.
But like, I moved a lot. I was incredibly insecure. Like, I am more myself today than I've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still not 100% myself sometimes.
Right.
Right? Because if you put me in a new environment, I get very uncomfortable unless I have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a purpose in that environment, I can own it.
Yeah.
But if you just put me in a new environment, so like, for example, if we quit going to the church we went to tomorrow and I walked into a new church, I don't have a purpose. Like, if they didn't ask me to come speak, they didn't ask me to come to a training, they didn't give me a job that somehow gives me value. If I walk into a space that and I don't have any intrinsic value because nobody knows me and I don't have a job, the level of anxiety, insecurity, like, I become small in my mind. I become small in that space, and I don't have any, I have very low confidence, right? Now, I've recognized that about myself, and so I act differently. I try to overcome it. However, there are times when, and I think part of that comes back from moving a lot, right? Like, I tell people when they ask, like, I was no matter how close I became to somebody, I was still their newest friend. Because 90% of people grow up where they're born.
Mm.
I mean, it just happens. Like, most people don't move around. It's not that popular.
Mm.
And so even if I became really close to somebody, every other friend, every other classmate, every other person they went to church with, everybody else in their neighborhood, even if I was closer to them, they had longer history with the other people. And so I was always the last man on the totem pole. Right? Now, every now and then, I could become close enough to somebody that I felt like it was like, all right, you'd still choose me. Right? Like, I'm not going to be the last one. Like, all right, you've got my back, I got your back.
Mm.
But it was rare. Because I feel like history ended up being more valuable than, like, current relationships. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when the way you walk into that room, like, when you walk, and so that was insecurity. So if I walk into a room with insecurity, I put off vibes, like, right? Like, so I act accordingly, and people react accordingly. But then you may know people that are secure, right? And it's not always about where you grow up and if you move a lot, right? Some of that is just genetic. Like, some people just have more secure presence about themselves, right? Maybe they realize I'm athletic, or I like my body, or I like my personality, or people think I'm funny, or there's something about them that has made them feel secure, right? And so when they walk into a room and they're secure, they demonstrate secure behaviors, and people react to that in a positive way, right? Whereas insecure people, if something negative happens, they overinflate that experience. Oh, my goodness, that was awful. And good things, they blow it off. That was a fluke. Well, it's the opposite. When secure people walk in a room, if something negative happens, like the girl blows them off or the guy doesn't want to talk to them, they're like, all right, whatever, no big deal. There's another person right over here. I'm going to go connect with them, right? And so they minimize the negatives and they maximize the potential that's there.
Yeah.
It's kind of opposite situations. I mean, do you feel like that
was cosign retweet. I mean, that was perfect.
Do you feel like that's true for you, though? Like, looking back at growing up in the exact same hometown, like, do you feel like it's just one of those things, it's an old glove that always fits right? Like, I just feel comfortable.
I think it's what, for me, a lot of it comes to, like, I don't know. Like, it just depends, because current relationships to me, I don't know. Like I said, it depends. Like, history means a lot, but, like, the investment in the relationship in the current moment probably plays more. Like, I have history with a lot of my friends.
Yeah.
But me and you are closer than some of these friends.
Right.
Because
the quality of the relationship over the last 2 years.
But that's needless to say, like, there's a security about being accepted somewhere else that can push you to new environments. Like,
mm-hmm.
So if you're accepted, let's say at home, if you're accepted within your friend group, if you feel secure at home, you feel secure within your friend group, you can go to a new environment probably for the most part and be somewhat okay. I mean, everybody's going to be nervous. Everybody has a little bit of social anxiety.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, they're not dependent upon, like, you're not dependent upon this environment to help you thrive.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, if you already have security, this just enhances your friend group. It doesn't define it.
Right.
Versus if you move a lot, especially if you moved a long ways,
yeah,
this next relationship is everything, because I got nothing right now.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
That's a good point.
So then you're more anxious. You're going to be more insecure. You're going to be more, like, vulnerable. You're going to be more different, like clingy, or you're gonna mm-hmm. be the opposite. You're not gonna try because you are anxious, or
so. And I feel like the pitfalls of both track accordingly. Mm-hmm. Like, you grow up in the same town. Like, the benefit is you got long relationships. Well, what's the downside? History.
Yeah.
Like, you know the good and bad of these people.
Right.
They know the good and bad of you.
Right.
Right. When you see these people, you think of every memory you've had, even when they were doing stupid. Like, it's.
Yeah.
And there's probably some people that you could be really close to, and they're great now. But because of things that happened 10 years ago, you're like, no shot. Like, I don't trust you.
Well, I joke because some of my friends, when we talk, like, we talk as if we're in, like, that past stage sometimes.
Yeah, like you're still in high school.
Right. Like, we talk, or they think, like, it's hard to see this person as this and say, wait, you're a therapist? Like, because in their mind, they're thinking high school Josh.
Yeah.
Or they're thinking high school Mark. And they're like, that doesn't add up to now. But in a way, and as I'm saying it, like, I mean, kind of to pull the faith side of it, I mean, Jesus was the same way. Like, Jesus grew up in Nazareth, and he was
not respected in his hometown.
Right, because people knew him.
That's a good point.
So I guess it's like, it's just the theme of that.
We're just trying to be like Jesus, man.
Yeah. Except for I haven't moved yet. but, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Because I think the pitfall, or I guess the positive of moving a lot, is you can always get a fresh start.
Yeah.
Which can be great. Like, I actually.
And you're not as. And you're more well-rounded. In the sense of, if you grow up in an environment, you are drenched in this environment, in this culture, in this mindset.
No other perspective.
Right. As whereas if you move around, you may get more of a well-rounded view.
I would say that I am like, I this is good and bad, but I can be like a chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
I can adapt to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You could drop me off in California right now, and like any part of me that's more accepted in California, I can turn the volume up on that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You drop me off in Cherokee County, South Carolina. It's a little more like southern redneck country. Right. I can turn up the volume of that part of myself. Right. You could take me up to like Boston. Drop me in Boston. Give me 6 months. I will find a way to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think people that grew up like solely, like their entire existence was defined in one cultural place, they just take that with them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's like country boy goes to city. Mm-hmm. Or surfer boy from California goes east. Like it just goes with you, which I think there's something endearing about that. Yeah. Like I don't think it's a pro and a con. I think it's just, it trends differently.
Yeah.
You know, because in some ways I like being adaptable. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't feel constrained by any cultural stereotype. I just do whatever the frick I want.
Right.
So if I want to wear boots today and a flannel shirt, let's rock it.
Yeah.
But if I want to wear like whatever else, okay. Give me a pair of Jordans. Give, like, if I want to wear it, I will. I don't feel constrained by a stereotype. But at the same time, sometimes I've also felt like I don't have the identity that I wish I did.
Mm.
Right? Like, I don't have, like, this is who you are. Because you're good at adapting, but who are you?
Mm.
Who is the real you, or who is just the adaption of you mm-hmm. to make other people like you?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know as we're getting close to time, because I think that you hit on like something that we could go down for another hour.
Okay.
But I'm not going to. But it's just that thought of like identity, like your identity there, not that, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's beneficial to have that. So you be so intertwined with a culture or a setting or an environment like me, you know, say Gaffney, that it would be hard to get out of it. Like it's hard to, because once you're in it so much, it's hard to get out. That's kind of the running joke is like, you either stay in Gaffney for the rest of your life or you get out and never come back. I think that's true for a lot of small towns.
I was going to say, but I've heard that from like everyone. I think that's just, I think that's a common pattern in smaller, more, not tighten it in a positive way, but like smaller, so everybody's in everybody's business and communities.
And so there's security in that, but there's also missed opportunities in that.
Right. Because I think in, I agree with that. I think one thing I've seen with myself, though, is as I've adapted and what I believe, and people could argue this is not true. I don't know, but like tried to become the more, what I'd say, congruent version of myself. Because the thing is when you're a chameleon, people think, oh, that's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
When really it's maybe that's who I am. Maybe that's how I want my hair, or maybe that's how I want to dress, or maybe that's how I want to talk or act or the music I want. Or maybe I'm just forcing that to be part of myself because I'm more accepted. So then what happens is you change and you become, I would say, hopefully a more authentic version of yourself. Like I hope that sitting here today, I'm the most authentic version of myself I've ever been.
Right.
I hope so. Right? Doesn't mean it's perfect, but I think that's true. But I've also know other people that knew me from other times are like, man, you've changed. It's like, no, I quit faking it.
Yeah.
Right? Or I quit trying to be somebody to be accepted and just tried to be the person maybe I wanted to be the whole time, but I was scared to admit it because I wanted acceptance more than I wanted authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, my mind's going 1,000 different places, but like, do you think identity is culture environment based and personality is more of like the true you? Like, is there a difference? Like, is identity something that's more interchangeable? Mm-hmm. Or do you think identity is more stable than like a personality? Because I can see you can move and change according to the culture and the environment, and people say that you change or your identity's changed, but really you're just adapting to the environment.
I mean, you could really split hairs on this. At the end of the day, I would say this. I think a lot of it's developmental.
Yeah.
Your teenage years and your early 20s, like, the most important part of that socio development is acceptance. It's friend group. It's relationships, peers. It's your identity. It's an identity phase. And so I think a lot of it is just everyone goes through that phase, right? Like, I'm not the martyr here. Like, ooh, I moved around a few times. Like, there are people that move, like, way more than me. I mean, it wasn't like my life was that hard, right? You think of people in the military and stuff. And so I think it's just maybe amplified when it's cross-cultural to a degree, right? Mm. But even within the school, right, you'll have that one kid who he played sports growing up, then all of a sudden he's emo, and then maybe a little goth, and then all of a sudden he's preppy. Like, he's trying to find his identity.
Right.
And so I think it's congruent with the phase of life. And as you get older, you become more secure.
Yeah.
Or at least more That's accepting fair. Of this is who I am, like it or hate it. I'm tired of trying to be somebody I'm not.
That's fair. Yeah.
And so I think sometimes it's just, if you move or change schools or homes or whatever during that identity phase, it might be amplified a little bit. But I think most people go through that, on at least on some level. You know, it may be yeah. how shy or introverted or insecure they are. That might influence how much you see them go through it. But I think most people probably go through those questions in their head. So
that's good.
All right, man. We're going to wrap up on that one. You're right. We could have dove into that for an hour. We won't do that to people. So,
yeah, or the sessions we have here in a second.
That's, just bring them in. Let's talk about your identity. But, all right, any other final thoughts before we wrap up?
No, I think we did pretty good.
All right, next week I'm on vacation. So right now I think the plan is for Bill's going to pitch hit. Is that true?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Allegedly?
Bill.
I could probably jump on a Zoom. I could probably jump on a Zoom if we need to.
Casanova of Christianity.
That's right.
Or whatever. I mean, if you want to. You
anyway,
can.
We'll right, figure it out. We'll figure that out. So next week, look for kind of a special episode, whatever that means. We haven't worked out the details, but until next time, as always, y'all behave yourselves.
Holla. Thanks for joining us on another episode of TNJ. Don't forget to check out the links to any of our guests in the show description.
And check out tattoosandjesus.org for additional show information or to submit your questions, comments, or curse words.